Scarlet Witch
yeah.
and all
so,
those people,
yeah.
the Hulk and Batman.
Yeah.
He's not a Marvel character.
Yeah.
Welcome everybody to the Red Bedspread podcast. I'm
the
Franklin
thing.
Sterling III.
And I'm Karen Soliday.
And on this podcast, we're going to try to emulate a typical business conversation between myself and Karen. Karen might not talk at all.
I'm talking. I'm talking, but I want Franklin to talk because
I don't talk a lot.
I don't like to be the monopolizer of the talk zone.
But at the same time, see this is a part of the dichotomy of our friendship, our creative of how our relationship works is you are very good at talking.
I know, and if
very
I
good
don't
at
talk
listening
enough,
and absorbing information.
You know, but I don't like to talk and monopolize it all.
Blah blah blah. Whatever. We gotta have content
right.
to fill
content.
The space
yes.
of air.
All right.
That these waves are traveling.
So we're gonna talk about obstacles.
So
right?
We're gonna be talking about it's gonna be in the format of just a typical conversation between the two of us.
About
we're gonna
the
talk
book.
About obstacles, about the book, we're gonna talk about
things.
Just whatever we talk about in a business
just a regular
conversation way. Between the two of us.
Yeah.
So earlier right before we started, we were talking about banking.
Banking, yeah. We have to open
and this
up.
This is a very it could be a tricky thing.
Maybe.
The more people you get involved into something
yeah.
like this, the more tricky it is dealing with banking and the money issues
mm-hmm.
of everything. But between, you know, this is just between myself and Karen. It's only two of us. We've been discussing how do you go about with dealing with revenue and banking.
Right.
So Karen had done a little bit of research on.
Well, I mean, the way we're set up is we're set up right
you
now.
You have.
I have already a business license.
I'm an independent, a contract
yeah.
3D artist. I work
right.
as a freelance artist. So I am. My business. I don't have an incorporation.
Right.
You know, I'm not incorporated
right.
or anything like that.
Right.
It's just me. You
I already
operate
have.
Under a... I don't know if you're incorporated. I don't know what sort of
it could
laws
be
and
a,
taxes go into that. But you have a company... Quote,
limited corporation or a LLC or something.
Called Give Me Some Sugar.
Give Me Some Sugar Creative. Yes.
And so what I think we're doing...
We're going to...
And fill me in... on the gaps is Give Me Some Sugar Creative is going to have a bank account
yes
in which
a business account
the Red Bedspread is affiliated
yes
you know it's directly under it's a,
we'll go
a creative
into that.
Entity underneath
yes yeah.
Give Me Some Sugar Creative and you'll basically
right.
I'll be an underwriter on
I don't
the
know
account.
I don't know you'll be You'll be,
there has to be
you'll
some.
You'll be connected to the account.
There will have to be some way for.
You're a co-account.
For both
owner.
Of us.
Yeah.
To
get into the account.
Yeah, to work
yeah.
in a balanced manner.
That's how it'll be. I infinitely trust Franklin. I'm not. I know that he has never. You know, I just don't envision. Any problems at all, but. In all business, you always have to do everything.
You have to be
correct.
Very careful, yes.
True. Which we'll do as we go. I mean, we're just, right now, we're just starting.
And
so.
I think that's it's a very fragile subject in any sort of collaborative creative
right.
endeavor.
Always when you're talking money, man.
And we've managed to keep the money aspect. We haven't made any money yet.
No.
Hopefully we will. But
no.
with that said, you know, we've always managed to keep the money aspect kind
pretty
of
pretty low because
under the belt and in a
yes.
realistic fashion. It's
yeah.
secondhand to the
right.
the content, the book that we created.
Because I've already opened up, I've already registered Give Me Some Sugar Creative, and I've got all that taken care of, and I had to pay a law entity to do that for me. So that's already done. So that's the easy
right.
way to do it. Then we'll open a business bank account, and you'll be co-owner of that, and you'll have the PIN and password and everything. And so whatever comes through on the book from CreateSpace, then we'll, at that time, we'll put it into that account. We can do all the divvying and whatever we have to do out of that later, because it's just, you know, who knows? Because I don't know about that. You know, I mean, we're not big at all, but if it got big, well, it's a great problem to have.
Yes.
You know, and down the road, I envision we're going to have a lawyer, you know, or an accountant lawyer, or whatever that is. It'll guide us with whatever. And those are all quality problems that we have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not worried about it whatsoever. And it'll be great to have a business account hooked up to that rather than your account. And we'll go, that's something that we're going to get done in the next week or two. It's going to be happening.
Yeah. See,
we'll go in together and do it.
If it was going to just, say, a personal checking account for myself, or if it was going to a personal checking account for Karen, you would have to, every month, go through your statement and figure out how much money we made off of the book,
right,
from each of the different online outlets, and then we'd have to divide it evenly, considering taxes, and considering what sort of portion of the money would go towards,
right,
promoting the book,
right,
and then it would get,
there'd be a lot of secretarial work or administrative,
yes,
work to figure it out. Well, I'm good at that already, and I have QuickBooks.
So the easy thing with having it as a business account is, it's the business account is there. It's just for that outlet. It's for,
right,
anything related to the Red Bedspread, posters, prints.
Yeah,
copies,
anything related to the Red Bedspread.
And that's it. There's no,
And then any other projects that you and I do down the road.
Right.
Now, if I, through Give Me Some Sugar Creative, have something that's just my project, like say, my song or voiceovers, well, that's going to go into my personal bank account that's,
right,
not hooked up to that bank account at all.
Right.
It'll be a whole separate deal. This way we can keep everything separate with regards to anything you and I do. We'll have a whole totally different bank account for that, which is good. That's good. Keep it separate.
Right.
Keep it simple, stupid.
Keep it simple.
I see no problems, but we never know. We could be laughing in our faces 5 years from now. Who knows? I don't know, because it's the big unknown.
So that's one of the big, I wouldn't call it a hurdle, but it's kind of a hill that we're trying to
get over. Well, that's,
we're not trying to get over it. We're trying to iron the hill out.
The hill,
we're trying to make the hill
this
into
week
a flat
or next
plane
week,
so that it's easy for us to travel
this
across.
This week or next week, and the website's going to be done live, hopefully in the next,
very soon.
Very soon,
it will be operating as you listen to this podcast.
That's right. That is exactly right. And then when that website's done, then I'm going to revamp my website.
Your personal website.
Yeah.
Speaking on terms of pills and
obstacles,
what other kinds of obstacles would you say you encountered during the process? And I'll kind of jump in as you name things, and if I have anything to add to them.
You know what? I mean, really, actually, when you think about it, not that many so far. Seriously, it's really just about getting communication obstacle, which is always normal.
Working one-on-one, working, compromising with one another,
right,
on things.
Getting making sure that the web designer knows exactly what you want and how to get that done. That's normal. Really, so far,
I think most of the complications that we've encountered in creating this book, and I think the majority, yeah, hopefully not.
Not so
but
bad.
The majority of the writing process, it took 4 years, but that was primarily because we both have jobs.
Everybody
we
had
both have
lives. Their lives to get through.
And the complications that arose were from things that were happening in our lives individually.
Right. That's most of it. It's just finding the time. Because really, to do a lot of this requires you be very present and sharp and not tired. And a lot of times, You know, if you're working all day at a job that requires an immense amount of focus and concentration, of which both of us had, you get home at 8. I mean, my schedule was 11 to 8 o'clock at night. Yeah. I never worked till 8.
I always worked till
10.
If I can add to that, you lived within relatively close proximity to where you worked.
Right.
Myself, personally, it's about a, you know, on average, I probably drive, it should be a 25 minute drive.
Should be,
but
in LA.
In LA, with all the crap that goes on in this awesome city,
yeah.
It usually takes between 45 minutes and an hour for me to commute to work or home from work.
I know, because you're...
And after that, you know, just that commute is enough
to just
to drain
turn
you
off. That's why, here's an interesting fact. Here we're going. That's why I got into watching mindless reality television, seriously, because I could come home from after working, and I always worked late. I always worked overtime every day. I always worked 2-3 hours past.
Yeah.
And I always worked 2-3 hours past, and I never got paid for it.
I think we mentioned earlier
yeah.
in one of the earlier podcasts when I first started, you know, going to your office and hanging out.
I know. I was always in the last
always,
one. I was always the
I would
last
have like a,
one.
A class that would end at, you know, like 10:30 at
know.
Night.
And I'd
and
still
I would
be there.
Go to Karen's office and she
and
would
what
be
was
there.
Sad?
And we would hang out and just, I would, you know, hang out with her until she finished her work, which was another half hour to
I
an
know.
Hour.
And I never got paid for that, ever. I had to lie on my time card because they wouldn't pay us.
So,
but to get the work done, I had to do that. I had to do it,
right.
So I just did it, and that was it. And I didn't know what to do because I didn't want to get fired. So
there was
but that's
a lot
how
of
our that's
in
how
that
our
sense.
Relationship started, was
yeah.
that. Was though all those times that I worked overtime, and I was always there, and you got off, and there, whoop, there it was. So I get home... I remember sometimes I would get home
you're just
at
exhausted
11 o'clock
when you get
at night.
Home.
Yeah, and you're just not in the mood. You can't, you're so mentally exhausted that I couldn't concentrate on anything of importance. And that's why I started watching. I think that's why reality TV in general became so popular, because all the minions and millions of people coming home from work at night, they don't have the brain capacity
yeah, yeah.
to focus on anything but tripe. You know, mindless nothingness. Just turn it on, rah, 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 eat their dinner in front of the TV. That's how that happens.
And here we are trying to create content for people.
I know. But you know what? Now I plan it. See, now there's many shows that I want to watch, and I'll binge watch them when I've got a nice cup of coffee, and I block a time to do that as a reward. You know, like some of the shows that are on, like House of Cards, or, you know, True Detective, or Game of Thrones, all those shows, my favorite shows. I watch them when I can. That's the beauty, again, of the web, of technology, of having a DVR
yeah.
and all of that, yes. And it is, because now I know that I'll never miss my stuff, my shows that I really want to watch, because I can watch them when I'm ready to watch them, and I'm alert.
I don't watch TV.
I know. I do watch TV. I've always liked movies, film, action, visuals. Love movies. I watch tons and tons of movies all the time. So I love movies. So obstacles. Really, I think most of our obstacles are to come. But I think they're quality obstacles.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid of them. I'm ready to tackle the obstacles and go on, because obstacles are in your pathway to make you better. They're quality things for you to get through
right.
that just makes you better. And that'll just make us a better team.
I've learned also to be able to compromise more. I think just the balance of working in a collaborative effort. There are certain things that you're very fixed on. There are certain things that I'm
right.
very fixed on. Where we had to kind of put our egos beside us and
oh, I know.
Look at
I'll tell you one of them.
In a more egalitarian
Here's one of
manner.
Them.
What is one of them?
One of them is the picture of... Here's what I wanted. I wanted a picture of.
I know exactly.
And I know. He knows. Okay, okay. I wanted a picture of.
And we'll explain. I'll explain.
I know. Henry Finch's hands with the cheddar-y cheese oozy drippy sandwich.
Right.
Where you're looking at the hands from his eyeballs. And you're seeing the hands and the plate, you know, his wrist and the hands holding that sandwich and the goopy cheese dripping down. And you're looking at it through his mouth. You can see the epiglottis. It's like if a little cockroach crawled up the back of his throat and had a GoPro camera on it, and it was looking on out.
Right.
Okay. And you initially started to draw that.
Yeah, I did a couple of sketches of it.
You didn't like it. There was something about it that you just didn't want to do. I think it was just one of those things where you just didn't like it.
It wasn't that I didn't like it and that I didn't know what to do. What it was for me was that's something that I could see in more of a like a movie or like a moving picture. It's harder to show that kind of a camera angle on a print.
On a print.
Publication.
Right.
It's easier to do it when in context with the film because it's moving. Right. And the main reason why I didn't do it was because by the time I got to that illustration to draw it, you had changed the copy of the text so many times that I was just like, I don't care. I'm just going to do this, you know, illustration. And this is what it's going to be.
I knew that. It was like, okay, Franklin's at his end, where it's
one of those things where,
and he won't change it.
It's one of those things where you're working on something for so long that you're just, and I'm sure there are artists out there listening to this that can completely relate to it.
I'm sure of
that
it.
you just want to get rid of it. You want to. Yes. You don't want to see it in your face anymore. You just want it to be gone.
No, but every human being has a moment like that on something where it's like, I don't care. I just, whatever is there, is it's going to be there because I'm not investing any more of my psyche into that thing.
Yeah.
You know, like.
And I'm sure that if I was getting paid to be doing these illustrations, or if we were getting commission for this,
if you were like working for Disney, you then would for do sure, millions
yeah, I would have changed it.
Yeah,
but
there or if were, somebody said, "I'll give you $10,000 to just do the plate and have it look like that," okay, yeah, money always.
I would have had
everything.
The time. I would have had the motivation.
Yeah,
the energy to do it, but I didn't have any.
Okay,
of that.
So here's something.
I had drained myself by that point.
If you ever see the book and it's got that picture in it, then you know Franklin Sterling III just got, like an angel gets his wings.
Maybe we can, just, when we do a reprint of a book
$10,000 put into his account. Just like, hey, Mommy. Look at that picture. Franklin Sterling III just got a check for $10,000. Ding, 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 ding.
Maybe we
look
can
it.
Do like a Easter
There's the epiglottis.
Egg. There's one copy of the book in existence that has that one image in it.
Yes. Then you know, look, Mommy, Franklin Sterling III just got $10,000.
An angel just got his wings.
I know. That's funny. But.
So those were the types of complications that I think we encountered.
And those were not that
most.
Big of a deal.
We haven't really gotten in anything
no.
that big. We've had some heated arguments.
Well, we had
heated discussions.
We had more heated discussions when
they were related more to personal
when Franklin
things.
Was going through some phases, which we won't talk about. Franklin,
you went through some stuff too.
I know we did. But Franklin went through some phase. I'm not pointing fingers, trust me. In the beginning of this, just as all younger people, they go through phases. It was interesting.
It was,
can I tell
and it
you?
Was, it was, you know,
you're much mellower
town,
now, man.
It was a small town kid. You know, I'm from Jaffrey, New Hampshire. Population of 5,000 people, whatever it is. It's very small. Going from that little environment to Los Angeles and seeing the world and my whole basis of reality was completely changed over the course of, you know, those 3 or 4 years that I was at in college in Los Angeles.
Oh,
so of course there were going to be things that, you know, that changed, I evolved, I went through different phases, of course, you know? Everybody goes through phases. You're going through phases right now. I'm going through phases right now.
I remember going to New York City from Des Moines, Iowa, when I went to acting school. Oh, my God. That was just unbelievable. That was, I mean, to go from Des Moines, Iowa, to East 45th and Lexington, where I lived, by myself when I was 18.
Yeah.
Alone.
It's a crazy
thing. Alone. Alone.
Going 2,500, 3,000 miles across the country by yourself.
It's a
pretty big mile.
So you're by yourself. I did it too. So we actually did the same thing. I went to New York City. You came to Los Angeles.
You did yours, you know, 30 years before I did.
That's right. And it was like, man. I mean, seriously, I would remember being in my room thinking, what the hell? And just freaking out, crying, you know. But then, as in life, everything changes. And I met some people, and we started having some fun. And I mean, I'll never forget that. I can still hear, I think I was on the 7th floor, my room was. And it was a hotel for women right in the heart, I mean, Pan Am building right there, UN up the street. I remember listening to all the noise. I could not believe how noisy New York City was compared to Des Moines, Iowa.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just sirens going constantly. It was noisy.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being in that room. I can see it. That's what we were talking about before, when you have those moments when you just flash.
Yeah, you go back.
There are things that are in, and what constitutes when that's going to be a moment, when there are things that just embed into your brain that will, you can always conjure them up.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you forget a lot of other stuff. But there are certain things that they never go away. They're always there.
Yeah, yeah.
What is
all
that?
All in all, I don't know. I don't know what it is. Some kind of a, you know, like I said, I'm not a neuroscientist or anything, so I don't know.
Because that's one of them, New York City. And
yeah.
Being in this room, and here I am, there's the bed, and I'm sitting, and I remember just then hearing all that noise, and this is it, I did this. I remember thinking, I did this, because I did it all by myself. I hitchhiked to Chicago to go to acting school.
Could be one of those moments. A couple years from now, we could be, you know, doing something, whatever it is. Just get a flashback to right here.
And you never know.
You never know. But all in all, I'd say it's been a cool process.
Yeah,
it has. It's been fun. It's been annoying. It's been energizing. It's been draining. And I'm really glad that we've been able to get this far.
Because how many people get this far, Franklin?
Not that many people get this
far. I mean,
how
many people can say, here is a book I wrote?
Individually, I think people get this far more than they do collaboratively.
Really?
I think so. But that's just...
But not with a book. Come on. Really? Not that. I'm serious. More importantly, it's about starting a project and seeing it through
to fruition.
To fruition, to the end.
And
over the course of 4 years, man, that really not many.
We're gonna have to figure out how to do it in like a year.
Well, we can do that.
Soon.
But, you know, hey, but there are, well, we can do that. Don't worry. Because now we have, but there are some people that where it takes them 10 years to write a novel.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know, it takes what it takes. So however long it takes,
yeah,
whatever that is.
So as a final wrap-up to this whole The Red Bedspread podcasting saga
series,
is there any final notes that you want to leave anybody with? Do you want to do like a poetic conclusion or anything like that?
It would be just
that
goodbye? It's been really an incredible process. I hope that I can successfully get the word out and have a strong platform and market this thing, and I hope everybody reads it. I know there's probably some grammatical stuff in there that I haven't caught.
No, there's not. It's all perfect.
Is it? But you know what? That's what makes
it. We
gotta
say it's all perfect.
No, but you know what? But that's what makes
it cool.
The whole
thing's perfect.
That's what makes it cool.
It's perfect.
We did it ourselves.
It's perfect.
It's a quality product. It really is.
It really is.
And I can really help you. We are killer. killer combination right here. Yep. Serious.
And I just like to say thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
For taking the time to, if you have purchased the book, thank you for your support.
Yes.
If you've purchased any prints, thank you again.
Yes. And thank you.
We appreciate
I'm done.
We appreciate everybody who's helped us get this far. Thanks for listening to the podcast, and we may be back.
Oh, we will be back.
That's it.